right, so everyone's tried except you, Whiff, so give us your rendition.
Wait, my turn?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. 3, 2, 1. It's the DK and Comet Show.
That's the best yet.
I liked that one.
That was pretty good.
All right, I got to give him my try.
He's like standing back for it.
Okay. The DK and Comet Show.
That's good.
There we go.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the DK and Comet Show. I'm DK, and my friend Comet will not be joining us today, but don't worry because we have a couple of very special guests with us. Among them is the one, the only John Barber.
Hey!
And we also have with us Tom Andrews.
Welp!
And we also have Tyler Wishall with us.
Good evening!
So like I said, we have a great show in store for you this time. We're going to give some reviews of what's been going on in the contest lately, and then we're going to give an in-depth preview of the Fighting in the Streets division. So where we left off last time in match reviews was the match of Axel Zackerson versus Wobbs, and I think pretty much everyone thought that Axel Z would take this match pretty easily, and he did manage to win 32-25, and I guess it's sort of surprising that Wobbs managed to pull that many votes just because he's been gone so long, although not surprisingly, most of those votes that he got were from chat, where he actually won 17-16, and the other block where you'd expect Wobbs to pull heavily from Europe, he lost 11-8. Although, that's sort of expected because his opponent is also a European. Not sure what else to say about this. I think it went pretty much as expected.
Yeah, I mean, Axel just drew heavily from, like, GoldenEye and, like, the forum. Like, he won general chat 26-17. But he's not really active in chat at all. And that's just such a huge thing. Plus, a lot of people remember Wabs as a real nice guy. So, he was still able to do pretty well.
I would argue that this result actually didn't make a ton of sense to me, and really, pretty much all the matches we're going to be talking about, like, the contest just stopped making sense about a week ago in terms of not only winners, but percentages. A match like this, you get a popular modern European guy like Axel, and this is supposed to be, like, the definition of an SFF affair, where you roll to a fairly big win over someone who hasn't, been seen hardly at all in the last 2 years. And it didn't happen, and I can't really explain it, but Silver Angel did kind of the same thing as Wobbs, really hung in there tight, even though he's barely been around. So I guess just being a nice guy can really help you even years later in this contest.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of what you two have just said. Wobbs just hasn't been in here for about 2 years, but I think it just goes to show just with the 25 votes that he ended up getting that being a chatter, a nice guy, and a guy that's been around since the start, since he's an old school, possibly even ancient school, if you want to call him that, he can still get a lot of votes, even though he hasn't been around for years.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I don't think it really says all that much about Axel Z in terms of whether or this was an underwhelming win for him in terms of percentage. I don't think that's true. I think what you guys just said was absolutely right, that Wobbs is just a really nice and popular guy, and he managed to draw a lot of votes that way, even though he's not active. But okay, so moving on to the retirement home division, where we had David Clemens versus Paragon. And I think this match went pretty much as expected, with Clemens winning 37-25. I think people were, for the most part, expecting Clemens to win this pretty easily, but at the same time, it's not surprising that Paragon managed to draw a lot of votes just because, as we were sort of talking about in the last episode, Paragon is just a legend. And even though he hasn't been around in forever, he's always going to be a legend in the minds of the elite, in the minds of people who know him and know of his accomplishments. And he did manage to draw quite a few votes. He did lose GoldenEye 25-11, but as you'd expect, he won Perfect Dark, but he only won it 8-6. There weren't that many Perfect Dark voters to begin with in that match.
I mean, this is going to sound weird as a 1-versus-8 match, but I was actually pretty impressed with Clemens, which, as I said, sounds weird. He didn't even break 60% as a 1-seed, but to win convincingly after Paragon has shown that he's just not going away and he pulled the big upset last year, and Clemens is usually one of the biggest anti-vote magnets around, and to get by without too much of a problem was actually pretty good for him, and so I think there is a chance of him actually making a run this year, which I would not have believed a couple weeks back.
Yeah, you take a look, that anti-vote thing you mentioned, if you look at the New School numbers, he got 26-14 from New School, and then 22-8 from Newest School. So partly that could be people that, even though Paragon is a legend, I'm sure there are people that just haven't heard of him, but also seems like less people are anti-voting Clemens, probably. I mean, we can't tell that for sure yet, but he definitely seems to be stronger this year, and he could definitely make a deep run, I think.
Yeah, again, I don't want to base all of these vote totals on old school, ancient school, legend status, but, you know, that probably is the reason for at least more than half of those votes. But he knocked off the 1-seed last year, which is amazing, so I'm sure he may have had some of that going. You know, if anyone can knock off the 1-seed, it's Paragon, so who knows? Maybe that has something to do with it.
About the Clemens anti-votes, as I think I mentioned in the last episode, I think Clemens has sort of cleaned up his act a lot in the past year. He's his attitude on the boards in general has just been a lot better, and he's actually been participating in other aspects of the community and not just playing the games. He's been in the chat room a lot more lately, so I think that, yes, say the people who were anti-voting Clemens the past 2 years, I think some of them maybe seen a different side of Clemens, and so I think he's probably getting less anti-votes than he has potentially been getting in the past.
Yeah, we talked about that in chat the other night, and I said it's pretty funny because Clemens, I mean, he's not usually like a hated guy all year round. But the last 3 summers in a row, like right before the contest, he's essentially slit his own throat contest-wise. You know, the first year was, this contest is the dumbest thing ever. Why don't we just play the games? And then whenever anyone won who was lower ranked than the person, you know, who they lost to, he'd go, oh, how could the number 3 GoldenEye player lose to the number 103, you know, like he just didn't understand it. And then, of course, last year we had the incident with all those crazy names that he created. A third, what were some of those again?
Trev has RCP90, Orimov Society, Streets 112, I think.
like the Ted name showing up out of nowhere, and then he and Goose both looked bad in that whole incident.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
But yeah, I agree. He's really cleaned it up, and he's going to the Michigan meet as we speak, and who knows about Virginia. So, yeah, he could really do it this year, I think.
Moving on to the next match. This was one of the most highly anticipated matchups going into the first round. It was Patrick Nielsen versus Neo. And like we said in the preview of this match, I think this matchup could have gone either way because both are really popular guys and both draw from different voting blocks. So it was really interesting to see how this match played out in the end, and it ended up being sort of an instant classic with Patrick winning by just 2 votes, 29-27. And as you'd expect, Patrick took the European votes, but he absolutely dominated Europe, 13-3. And as you'd also expect, Patrick also took GoldenEye. He won that 19-3.
19-13.
19-13, sorry.
Yeah.
and also, as you'd expect, Neo took the chat vote 19-15. So, I mean, I think this match played out pretty much exactly how you'd expect, a really close match and decided by just 2 votes.
Yeah, we always knew heading into this year that the chat room was going to be pretty much the major influence. And based on that, you'd think Neo might have a slight edge. But then the thing that's kind of snuck up on us this year is the Virginia vote. And I guess we're going to be talking about that even more in some of the matches coming up. But it just seems that a lot of the people who go to the meets, and of course Patrick has done European meets as well, are voting for the people they've met in person, and that seems to be really sticking with people. And that is, in my opinion, what was just barely enough to get him over the hump in this one.
Yeah, it really goes to show that if you're not a big fan in chat room and in general chat, that you really are going to have a rough time winning in the contest. And Neo, you know, he hasn't really done a whole lot in terms of Perfect Dark and GoldenEye and stuff. And yes, he did sweep the Aussie vote, which is of course the most important voting block ever. But you know, that can only carry you so far.
I mean, I never knew Neo back when he was really active, I guess. I didn't really know what to think about this match, because from what I've seen, Patrick has been pretty active. He's been going to meets. He posts on the boards pretty often. He hasn't been in chat, but Neo hasn't really either, in my experience. I mean, he has been some, but I thought Patrick, as I thought about it, I thought Patrick would take this by a larger margin. But especially because he got the old school and ancient vote. But yeah, I guess that Virginia support probably helped him out in the end. But yeah, Neo still got a few more than I was expecting, I guess.
So the next match that we had was another really interesting one. It was Scott Abbey versus Brad Cutler. And this match was really interesting because it's new school versus old school, but both of these guys ultimately draw from the same blocks because currently they're pretty much involved in the same things when it comes to the Elite. I mean, they're both big chatters. They've both been, you know, involved in the puzzle hunts. So it'd be really interesting to see how this would play out. And it turned out that Thingy would win this one, also by a margin of 2 votes, 29-27. The crucial block here, the chat room, Thingy won 18-16. But I also think something that sort of put Thingy over the hump here, and is something that I talked about in the last episode, was the Mario Kart vote. And since Thingy is technically a carter, you would expect him to draw those Mario Kart votes. But the question was how many Mario Kart voters were going to show up in this match. And it turns out that 5 of them did. And the Mario Kart vote went 4-1 in favor of Thingy. So I think that definitely helped him get the edge on Brad here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, otherwise, pretty much everything split. I mean, Brad won Perfect Dark 11-6. Seems more like a coincidence than anything else. Maybe there's more old school in Perfect Dark. But yeah, I think the Mario Kart vote was pretty much the key here. Because Singy didn't win anything else by more than 2 votes. So it was a fun one to watch.
I think to me, this one, though, continued the trend of the contest not making sense, because Thingy and Cyber are both known as chatters, but Thingy is a much bigger chatter in terms of volume and in terms of creating the chat stats and that kind of stuff. And the other thing Cyber is known for is the puzzle hunts, but to me, Thingy is, you know, a much bigger influence Puzzle Hunts-wise as well. I mean, Cyber and Disco were very good this year, helped the team out a lot, but Thingy is like the driving force behind the Elite Puzzle Hunt teams. And so in situations like that, it's supposed to turn into an SFF affair. It's supposed to be a blowout, and that is definitely what I was expecting. So Cyber hanging in there so well. I mean, some of it's old school, and some of it, I guess, people don't know Thingy. But, this one really was one of the more surprising results to me that it stuck this close.
The only question that I have now is because of this the Mario Kart vote, are we going to see a Mario Kart group in our vote totals for possibly the 2011 contest at some point, just because, you know, it's proving to be a bigger and bigger effect on the vote totals.
It is some days, and sometimes it's a deciding factor, and then other days, like, two of them vote. So I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know what caused it. And, like, even, like, Nate's match, I mean, we've talked about this before on the podcast, but, you know, you'd think Nate would be Mr. Kart, and, like, three Carters voted, and two of them were against him or something ridiculous like that. It's just really unpredictable when they show up, if they show up, who they show up for. So, I don't know about making a whole new group for it, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
I think those Carters can be sort of a wild card in this contest, especially if there's someone involved in the match who has been involved in the Mario Kart community, because exactly what John said, you never know what the turnout's going to be. I mean, you'd expect in a match that features a prominent Carter like Nate that a lot of them would turn out to vote, but then only three showed up, and as you said, only one of those three voted for Nate, and then I think in some other match, like 8 or 10 showed up. I think 10 showed up for the QB Alec Boy match or something crazy, and then we get 5 here, so you never really know what you're going to get from these Mario Kart voters. So, I mean, they're essentially a wild card.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Derp. Oh, wait.
Welp.
Okay, so moving on. The last match that we had in the retirement home division was Nkosi versus Brian Yaus. And I think going into this match, Nkosi was a favorite just because he's more new school. He's getting a lot more exposure than Yaus is currently because he's been a really active poster in GoldenEye. He's been in chat sometimes. He's been in free-for-all a little bit. He's just overall been more active than Yaus, and he's been playing the games. Even though Yaus is a strong old-school force, I think people were expecting Nkosi to win this, but in what's probably one of the biggest upsets of the first round, Yaus managed to not only win, he dominated this, winning 35-23. And the weird thing about this match is that while Yaus did win the old school 12-10, he won the new school 23-13. So it seems really odd that Yaus would pull so many new school votes from sort of an up-and-coming guy like Nkosi.
Yeah, man, this one really surprised me. Like, old school and ancient pretty much split, and then Yaus took the new school vote pretty convincingly, like, destroyed the North American vote. So I don't know. I mean, like, I don't even know what to say. I don't know if it was just, like, tons of anti-votes or people picking randomly or what, but I don't understand this one very much at all, to be honest.
I'm wondering if those 10 North American voters that didn't vote for Yaus were all the Canadians that he trash-talked in the Olympic hockey topic or something.
There was a great vote in this match. I forget if it won one vote of the day or not, but it said, Inky has amassed 3,000 posts on the message board, and 3 of them have been worth reading. And to me, that pretty much summarizes this entire result. I mean, Brian has always had his fans. I know I'm certainly one of them, and he has plenty more from back in the day when he was one of the biggest guys on the board. and also an occasional, pretty solid chatter. But I think that accounts for, 20 or 25 of these votes, and then the rest is all just people who are really sick of seeing so many Inky posts. is pretty much what I think this one boiled down to.
Yeah, for some reason Inky didn't really strike me as someone who would get really heavily anti-voted, just because, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I don't have a huge problem with this posting behavior. I mean, sure, I guess it could be seen as spam sometimes, but I don't know. I just didn't think that Inky would be that heavily anti-voted, but I think I'd have to agree with you looking at this result that may be what happened here.
The other problem is, I think it's pretty hard to have success in this contest as a first timer, as a rookie coming out.
Yeah, for sure.
Indeed.
of course, DK is the exception to that rule, but normally, you come into the contest and you get beaten up pretty badly, and then you come back the next year and you start making some pretty big gains. And I think that's going to happen for Inky if he sticks around and posts a little less. I think he could be, a good up and comer for the next few years. That's something that Goose has been saying, and I do agree with him there. But for this year, it just was not going to happen.
Okay, so moving on to the Trapped in the Cottage division. And in the first match, we had the division namesake, Ryan White, versus an old-school GoldenEye legend in Sterling. And I think going into this match, people were expecting Goose to win, but I think it was also interesting to see how close Sterling would be able to keep it, because due to, Goose's history of getting anti-voted and Sterling's recent weird behavior around the Elite lately, he was sort of destined to get some anti-votes, possibly. So I think it was really interesting going in to see just how close this would be, and ultimately Goose managed to win pretty convincingly, 38-24, with over 60% of the vote. And I think the voting blogs went pretty much as expected. Goose took down GoldenEye, but just barely, 18-16. And Goose really managed to win with the support of the chat room voters, where he won 23-14.
Yeah, I hate to sound like an echo, but to me, it's pretty much the same thing as that Clemens match. Sterling and Paragon, of course, were one vote separated last year, and Goose and Clemens are one seeds where they always get anti-voted. So it sounds weird to say, oh, you only got 60% of the vote, but that's actually pretty good for him. And here again, I was fairly impressed that he didn't have any real trouble putting away Sterling. And I think this could be a good turnaround year for Goose. He was down last year with all that nonsense that happened, but I think he could be primed to make a decent run in this contest.
I think it could definitely be a stronger year for Goose than he's had in the past. He'll definitely be tested further before he gets out of the cottage here, but by his opponent in the next round in particular. But yeah, I definitely agree with that. The comparisons there. And Goose, I would say, has also improved his board behavior, not as drastically as Clemens has probably, but just in trying to reconcile himself with the Ohio crew and all that, he's done pretty well for himself, so.
Well, successful troll is very successful, apparently. I'm really surprised that Goose had such, a big win margin, just given that, the attitude that he has in chat, I'm surprised that he wasn't anti-voted more. But when you manage to capture nearly half of the old school vote, and that's very impressive, given that you're not really an old school person at all. But I do think it is kind of weird that it isn't that the GoldenEye vote was split pretty evenly. So, yeah, I think Goose will do well this year, but yeah, I think the anti-votes could be his undoing in later matches.
Let me just say that I loved his makeup with the Ohio crew post in Free For All the day after the contest is announced.
It'll be interesting to see if he can turn it around this year and have a breakout year, but he's going to face a huge test in the second round against the winner of the next match, which was between Octo and Emily Blomsey, who's better known as Henning's girlfriend. And
Henning's fiancé.
Henning's fiancé, yeah.
Yes, his fiancé. And obviously I don't think anyone seriously thought that the match was in doubt for Octo. I think pretty much everyone knew he was going to win, but nonetheless, it was going to be interesting to see how many votes Emily would pull. And I think, just in terms of percentages, this was one of the most surprising results of the contest so far. Emily managed to pull 22 votes, 36% overall. And to me, this was just really surprising, because I think there's only one person in the Elite that can legitimately vote for Emily over Octo. And that's and you got to figure that the other 21 Emily votes are either joke votes, pity votes, or Octo anti-votes, which I don't imagine there are a lot of people who would actually anti-vote Octo. So, I mean, the fact that Emily managed to draw this many votes is really surprising.
Is it possible that Henning got into this contest twice? You know, there's your Henning versus whoever, and then your Octo versus Henning part two, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. Now, I mean, this is going to sound weird because Third and I set the line for this one at 81, and then I actually bet the over. So it's like my worst, you know, percentage-wise, it's probably my worst mistake in, like, 2 years. But that being said, this result doesn't shock me as much that happened in the last week, just because Octo was such a favorite that in a situation like that, you know, pity vote or joke vote or whatever you want to call it, traditionally that's something that we see. And Emily seems, I guess, likable enough to pick up those kind of votes. I mean, percentage-wise, it looks really weird, but at least I can understand why it happened in this case.
So the next match we had was also an intriguing one. It was Shep versus Trent. And these are two guys who pull from completely different voting blocks, or at least you would expect them to, with Shep being, you know, one of the biggest European chatters around, and Trent being a big-time GoldenEye player who doesn't really chat very much, doesn't really make that many posts outside of GoldenEye, but he also goes to the Virginia meets. So be interesting to see how this one turned out. And going into this match, the spread had Shep as a pretty heavy favorite, but Trent managed to win this match by a single vote. And when I first looked at this result, I was pretty surprised that Trent won. But then I thought back to the very beginning of the contest when I first looked at this bracket. When I saw this matchup, I thought this would be one of the closer matchups of the first round, and it turned out that way. But what surprises me more is really the voting block breakdowns here. First, let's start with GoldenEye. Trent won GoldenEye, but he only won it 18-13. And then we have Chad, which Shep won, but he only won it 20-14. And then Europe, which you would expect Shep to dominate. Shep lost Europe 11-8. So, I mean, I think that right there, Shep losing Europe, is one of the biggest surprises to me so far in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect this one to be close because, I mean, I figured pretty much what you mentioned, Trent might get a few more GoldenEye votes, but then Shep would get chat really strongly and, like, dominate Europe. But I guess Trent like, has been out to Europe. He's met some people out there. Really surprised me in this match. I had faith in the line that was set. I thought Shep would win it pretty easily, but Trent looks to be pretty strong, so watch out for him.
And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but of all the matches that that don't make sense, this one really doesn't make sense to me. Shep has looked so good the past 2 or 3 years. He was, as I mentioned in chat the other night, one vote away from getting to the Final Four last year, very nearly beat Cum to earn that spot. And I was just thinking about it, and I was thinking, heading into this one, you know, who really owns the European vote? And I was thinking, well, QB always dominates there. But it's probably, Shep might be number two, like the most loved European guy, and the Euros usually stick with each other, pretty good. And for him to lose that, even with Trent going to some European meets, it still does not make sense to me. And, like I said, it just seems, meeting people in person is becoming a bigger and bigger deal, as this contest goes on, and Trent's done a lot of that, and again, I think that's what secured him the victory.
Well, yeah, just what you said, that going out to these meets really helps boost your chat score and all, but and I thought this match was going to be close the whole way, because you have a heavy chat favorite versus a heavy old school favorite, which ended up not being the case, since Shep actually won old school and almost ancient school as well. But again, this goes back to DK with the breakdown. You know, Trent wins Euro and Shep wins the North American, which just is kind of like a puzzling thing. It's like, that mm-hmm. makes no sense at all.
And actually, looking at it, it looks like that enigmatic Mario Kart block showed up and voted 5-1 for Trent in this match. So looks like they were pretty important again here. I don't know if Trent is even a Carter, but he got their support.
I don't believe he's gone for time trials, but he's always one of the top contenders in our kart bracket in Virginia. Okay. And so I'm thinking some of those voters have probably played him head to head and, you know, have respect for his multiplayer.
Okay, so the last match that we had in this sort of group of death that is trapped in the cottage, we had Max Bout, better known as Red Bull, versus Brandon Sanford, better known as Bex. And I think everyone was pretty much expecting Bully to win this one fairly easily, considering that Bully in recent years has been really active in Perfect Dark and active in the chat room, although he's sort of drifted away from the elite in recent months. He still shows up in chat from time to time, but he hasn't really been as active as it used to be, whereas Brandon Sanford's just been completely absent for God knows how long. So ultimately, Bully did win 33-23, but to me it's still surprising that Brandon was still able to pull so many votes. I guess it's just a testament to how much of a likable guy he was and how much of an impact that he made on the community, that even though he's been completely inactive, he's still able to pull votes against a really strong contender like Bully.
Well, sometimes these old members can really surprise you. I mean, I think it was back in 2009 when Marsh had got a lot of votes, and again, he hasn't really been around for years now, and he still performed really, really well. But again, the result doesn't surprise me one bit, seeing how Bully managed to take practically every single vote block except for the Aussie voters. I guess Bex made some friends down south, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Bully, I mean, he did what I expected, pretty much. I mean, he won Euro 12-4, Perfect Dark 14-5, and then chat 23-11. I mean, those are what he would draw from, and he did. But I mean, Brandon still drew pretty well from every category. Got actually, I mean, good new school support maybe a few any votes there. I'm not really sure. But yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to see how Bully does down the road.
This another one that's really weird to me, because to me it just seems like the only support for Brandon should be from people who followed him in GoldenEye, you know, a couple of years back, one of the biggest posters around there. But it's like he hasn't done that in a good year and a half, and meanwhile, in that year and a half, Bully's been posting up a storm and seems like a really likable guy, and you think he would just SFF that kind of fan base away from Brandon and win big, and it didn't happen. And here I can't really explain it, because unlike with you know, Goose or Clemens or whoever, I don't really think Bully would be an anti-vote magnet, so I'm not quite sure where Brandon gets all this support to really hang in there and put up, frankly, an impressive performance despite the loss.
Well, is it possible that it came from people knowing that Bully would easily win this match, and they were just trying to either beat the spread or just vote for a miracle win or something like that?
Yeah, I think some of it comes from that, where here, just looking at it, Bully was enough of a favorite that people, I think, could feel safe helping Brandon out. And I think partially that same thing happened with Trent, where we had the line set pretty high, and people just said, oh, Shep is always so great in these. He'll be safe, you know, even if I, because I like Trent a little bit, so I'll help him out a little. But they ended up helping him a lot when all those were added together. And I think some of it is that, but even so, you usually don't see that to this extent. So to me, it's still kind of surprising.
And call it a good performance by Brandon, or call it an underwhelming win for Bully, but I think especially with Shep going down, this whole division has been blown wide open, and also with the sort of underwhelming win that Octo had against Emily, I think this division now is just really wide open, and I think any of the remaining guys in it can potentially win.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just blown open.
Before
Goose is still trapped inside.
Before we move on, I just wanted to quickly say, how weird is it that it seems as though someone actually overperformed in a contest as a result of being literally given a Hitler picture on the top of the boards? Like,
you're welcome.
In any other circumstance, can you imagine, you know, I overperformed by 5% because he gave me a Hitler picture, you know?
Well, to be fair, Brandon's had a Hitler picture every year.
Yeah. But at least in other years, he had to infer somewhat, hey, he kind of looks like, this is just like, yep, Robo Hitler, vote for him.
All right, so now we're going to give you a preview of the next division, which is Fighting in the Streets. And in the first match, we have Glenn Stevens, better known as OD, or Super Odin, versus Vitor Miranda, better known as Greg K. And OD has not had a whole lot of contest success, although he started to build some strength last year in 2009, where he made it all the way to round 3, where he lost to Shep, and of course Shep was really strong last year. Where we have, on the other hand, Greg K, who didn't even make the field in 2009, and he comes in here as an 8 seed, and obviously Glenn has been really active in GoldenEye, and he's been in chat a lot, and Greg K, although he's been posting on the boards a bit and he's been doing updates for the Elite.net blog lately, I think that Glenn is just going to be way too overpowering in this one, and he should be able to win this one.
Yeah, I mean, Odie, I'm pretty uncertain about him, I guess, because he did do pretty well last year, but I'm not convinced of much with him, I guess. He should get, you know, good GoldenEye support, pretty much all the support from people who, you know, vote for people based on, like, skill in the games and stuff. I mean, Vitor is pretty good at Perfect Dark, but the GoldenEye vote is a lot stronger in that regard. And then Odie should get most of the chat vote also, really pulling this one out.
Well, we've only had one 8 seed upset in the past, you know, 6 or 7 summer contests, if I'm not mistaken. So, again, I think OD will cruise on to an easy win here. But, I mean, props to Greg for taking the reins in updating the front page. And all. Maybe it'll get him some votes here and there. But I don't think he has it in him to top OD, but hopefully he can keep it close. So, yeah.
All right, in the next match, we have Wheat against Jimmy Bauer. And, again, these are two guys that sort of draw from completely different blocks. Or Wheat has some past history in CART, but he's, of course, better known as a chatter. And we have Jimmy Bauer, who's a GoldenEye player, and I don't really think he does much else. And I think in a match like this, where Wheat's going to have the chat room absolutely dominated, and you also have to consider the fact that since Wheat's been, I think, to every Virginia meet, he's going to steal basically all of the GoldenEye votes that overlap with the regular Virginia meet guys. So I think that Wheat should actually be able to win this one really comfortably.
This is one of the real highlights for me in coning up the nominations for this year's contest and getting the bracket set up, and then coming to the realization that Brent Wheatrich Wingert was going to be the favorite in an elite summer contest match. Like, in terms of all-time mind-blowing revelations, that's got to be right up there for me. And I was actually pretty excited about this match originally because it's like ultimate chat room only kind of guy against ultimate GoldenEye only guy. And I thought that was going to be like the fun thing to watch those kind of battles this year. But it just seems with Virginia also at his back, I just cannot really see Jimmy being able to pull this one out. I just think that's too much of an advantage for Wheat. It should be enough to secure the victory for him.
Well, all I'd like to say is that if Wheat doesn't win, it's not because of the photo that he has, because I'd like to say, as your summer contest picture editor, he has the best picture out of all of the 64 people in the contest this year. So look forward to it when his match is up.
Wow. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I agree. I think Wheat's going to probably pull it out here. I mean, Jimmy Bauer, like, I don't know his personality or anything about him. All I really remember is scattered posts of PRs or whatever, and he hasn't been active hardly at all the last year. And Newest School has shown itself to be a pretty big factor, so I would think Wheat should win this one without too much trouble, I would say.
Jokingly, we talk about Wheat being the favorite in this one, especially considering he hasn't really had much success in the contest at all. But I think, you know, with his chat room activity and his going to the Virginia meets every year, I think he's earned it this year. I think he's earned the right to be a favorite this year.
That's very noble of you.
When we were just getting started on the contest, I jokingly said, you know, Wheat is my dark horse for this year in chat. But actually, it was only half jokingly, because I do think people are really coming around him in the last year. He's been really active and, you know, a pretty fun guy to have around in chat. So, yeah, it'd be cool to see him be able to maybe even give Glenn a run in the second round. I mean, that'd be pretty cool to see.
Okay, so the next match that we have is Greg Wohl versus Cliff Hampton. He's also known as Q-Star on the boards. And Wohl, obviously, he's been involved in the Virginia meets. He's draws heavily from GoldenEye. He's part of that so-called Ohio crew, I guess. And he's just an all-around popular guy. Whereas we have Cliff Hampton, who is making his very first appearance in the contest. And as far as I know, Hampton just plays GoldenEye and doesn't really do much else. I don't really think this match is in question either. I think, again, Wool should be able to win this fairly easily. Yeah, thanks. And I think another reason for it is that, as we've seen in the contest in the past, I think in order to have contest success, you have to do more than just play the games and be good at the games to be successful.
This was another of those that when I first finished up on the bracket, I was looking over, I said, hey, maybe this one could be interesting. Because Wool hasn't really been around that much aside from meets, you know, in recent years. But then after seeing what Adam did and Trent did and how it turned out for Inky, boy, things are really trending against Hampton in this one. So I hate to say it, maybe screw results, but I got to think this is going to be one of the bigger blowouts that we're going to see in the first round.
I mean, like, maybe some pity votes for Cliff and maybe people who are like, oh, he got a, you know, an untied world record on runway and an untied world record on surface too. People that are really excited about that kind of stuff will definitely vote for Cliff here. But there's not a whole lot of those people. And Wool is definitely old school. He's well liked by a lot of people, and for good reason. You know, he's a good guy. So yeah, should be a convincing win for him.
Yeah, I'd have to agree, but again, I think this might end up like the Bully and Bex matchup where lots of people might end up voting for Hampton because they know that Wool has this in the bag and they just want to either beat the spread or just see, you know, if they can pull off the impossible. But yeah, going up against a legend like Wool, you got your work cut out for you, let's say. So yeah, I don't see Hampton doing a whole lot in this matchup.
And I just want to quickly beg to differ with Whiff. I actually think the best pick of the contest belongs to Greg Wool. And so I say, if you want to keep an eye out for one contest picture, make sure to check the boards this day. See Greg's very funny, very cool picture that has been made for him this year.
All right.
I'd actually have to give credit to Adam Matus for making that contest picture. I do not have the Photoshop abilities to make that, so the second in command actually made that. So props to those two, I guess.
Pretty excited for all these pictures, man. Should be fun.
It's the best group of pictures, let's say.
Well, the best picture of this division is yet to come. With the last match that we have, it's me, DK, versus the very lovable Nick Rottmeyer, better known as Good Speedrun Trainer. I don't really want to say too much about my own match, so I'll hand it off to someone else.
I just can't. Oh, man. I just can't believe. I'm still laughing about this, man. Someone else can talk if they want. Like, I don't even know.
Welp, DK's going to run away with this one, Welp.
Oh. No, I just, like, Speedrun Trainer is the craziest guy. And I don't know, some people might vote for him. I mean, because he played GoldenEye some, and he got some okay times. But DK should be far too strong. DK should block and burn him in this match pretty effectively.
Like I said, I was stunned with the way the bracket worked out, you know, about Wheat. But the match that really made my eyes light up was this one. DK against SRT. Like, could you possibly ask for a more hilarious setup and the stuff that's going to be generated during that 24 hours? I think could live in infamy. So yeah, I'm really excited to see more of the community's reaction to this match than the actual final percentage.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm really excited to see DK versus Wool in the next round. That's going to be a fun one, let me tell you.
Yeah, I think it should be a good one, assuming that I can can make it past Speedrun Trainer. In my bracket predictions, I actually have Wool winning, and as John's mentioned, the great win that Matus had, if Wool's able to have sort of a similar amount of contest power this year, then I think I'm going to have my hands full, and Wool's definitely capable of beating me and moving on, so it should be a great match.
I would almost call that one a coin flip, and it sounds, when we eventually start talking more about round two, it'll just be a little weird because I'm going to be saying that about so many matches, but yeah, I think this is a really fun bracket as soon as we get past this first round. I think from there out.
Does anyone have anything else to say, or...
Yeah, I have one more thing that I'd like to add, so here goes. Well,
yeah, that's...
Thank you for that.
All right, that's all that we have for you for this edition of the DK and Comet Show. For Comet and the rest of us at the show, I'm DK. And we'll see you later.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.